Good morning. And welcome to public worship here in Craigie Hill this morning. We'll just commence with a number of announcements, please. This evening, our annual carol service will be at 6:30 here in the meeting house. And we would ask people, when you're coming, please come early to get everyone seated in. Our Christmas morning service will be on YouTube, and it also will be on the telephone live at 10:30. YouTube and live on the telephone at 10:30. And following our time together there, we're going to have a live Zoom meeting where children can bring in their toys, and we're going to have a time of fellowship one with another. Next Sunday, our morning service will be at 11 a.m. in the flesh, here in the meeting house, and also on the telephone and on YouTube. However, next Sunday evening, it will just be on YouTube. So next Sunday night, the 27th, don't arrive here, or you'll be here on your own and missing out. Also, you'll notice this morning as you were coming into church, you'll have found a Christmas gift bag. This was gifted to the congregation by members of the Women's Fellowship. And they were placed here on the chairs during the week, so there's been 72 hours have passed where they have not been touched. So you can touch them now. They're safe. And they are a gift for you, or if you would like, they would be an ideal gift to pop in through someone's door who's shut in at this Christmas time. Now, just one other announcement, just to make the congregation aware that I received a call to the congregation of Dervik in the Presbytery of Root last Monday night. So in due course, not this week, not next week, maybe after lockdown's over, you'll see an interview of Laurie outside it, but details of that will all follow in due course. These are all the announcements. We have gathered to worship God, and our call to worship this morning is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Let's hear God speak to us from his holy and infallible word. She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we praise and thank you this morning for the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, this morning that what the prophets foretold of you would come about, did come about. That Emmanuel, that God, that you left the realms of glory and took on human flesh and dwelt among us as fully God and fully man. We praise and thank you today that you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We praise and thank you today that Jesus Christ is our rescuer and our deliverer. We want to thank you that he came to deal with the sin of his chosen people. And Father, this time of year, this season, we celebrate the joy of Christ coming to this earth, dwelling among us, and being our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord and King. We come this morning as a people who are marked with sin, who are stained by sin, who've been born sinful, who know and have experienced the full consequences, or many of the consequences, of sin in our lives. But as your covenant people this morning, we say thank you to you that you have done for us what we could never do for ourselves. Father, we want to thank and praise you today that you're the one who has lifted us out of the miry bog and set our feet on a rock, on Christ Jesus. We thank and praise you today that our life, our foundation is built on him. Father, we praise you today that we can say that we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have today on this, your day, the Sabbath day, to gather as a body of your people. Lord, there's so much panic and distress and worry and anxiety in the world that we find ourselves in. But in this hour of worship, we would pray, Lord, that we, your people, would know your presence with us. We would pray that we would know your peace. Lord, we would pray that your name would be honored and glorified this day in our meeting together. As we leave this place today, may we say it was good to meet with you, the one true and living God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue to worship God as we read God's word together. And we're going to read firstly from Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16 verses 1 to 11. And then Matthew 1 verses 18 to 25. Isaiah chapter 16 verses 1 to 11. In this passage we continue to read of the oracle concerning Moab. This is God's word. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Sela by way of the desert, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Like fleeting birds, like a scattered nest, so are the daughters of Moab at the forts of the Arnon. Give counsel, grant justice, make your shade like night. At the height of noon, shelter the outcasts. Do not reveal the fugitive. Let the outcasts of Moab sojourn among you. Be a shelter to them from the destroyer. When the oppressor is no more and destruction has deceased, and he who tramples underfoot is vanished from the land, then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice, and is swift to do righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab, how proud he is, of his arrogance, his pride and his insolence. In his idle boasting he is not right. Therefore, let Moab wail for Moab. Let everyone wail, mourn utterly stricken, for the raisin cakes of Kirkharkashith, for the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah. The lords of the nations have struck down its branches, which reached to Jezer and strayed to the desert. Its shoots spread abroad and pass over the sea. Therefore I weep with the weeping of Jezer, for the vine of Sibmah. I drench you with my tears, O Heshbon and Elilad, for over your summer fruit and your harvest the shout has ceased. And joy and gladness are taken away from the fruitful field. And in the vineyards no songs are sung, no cheers are raised, no treaders treads out wine in the presses. I have put an end to the shouting. Therefore my inner parts moan like a lyre for Moab, and my inmost self for Kirkashith. Amen. We also turn then to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, and read together verses 18 to 25, the text which we'll be focusing on this morning. Matthew 1, in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he called him Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good to see a number of you out here in the flesh and also those who are joining us online. This morning, boys and girls, from God's Word, we're going to see exactly what Jesus' name means. Jesus is, his name means rescuer. It means deliverer. We're going to see that our text this morning shows us Jesus' purpose of coming to this earth. It was to save his people from their sins. Boys and girls, you and I, each and every one of us, was given a name by our parents. And within 6 weeks of your birth, each and every one of us will have received one of these. We will have received a birth certificate. Our mum or dad, in my case it was my mother, headed to the council office, and my name was given to the government, and a certificate of my birth was issued. Each and every one of us, it doesn't matter if you're 90 or if you're only 4 months, you will have one of these at home. Our parents most likely will have spent a bit of time choosing what our name should be. My name is Campbell. It means crooked mouth. I don't believe my mum and dad gave me that name because of a crooked mouth. When they gave me that, I couldn't speak. But maybe after 2 years, 7 months, maybe you feel I do have a bit of a crooked mouth. But the reason I was given that name was after my grandmother. It was her maiden name. And as parents, me and Rachel had to sit down and to choose names for our children. Abigail, which means my father's joy. And she is a great joy to me. And Timothy, one who honours God. And our desire as parents was that our children, Abigail, would know the joy of the Heavenly Father in her life. And that Abigail, that will know the joy of the Heavenly Father in her life. And Timothy would become a man, one who would seek to honour God. Boys and girls, this morning, I don't know if you know what your name means or not. If you don't, when you go home, ask Mum and Dad today, why did you give me the name you gave me? Why? There'll be no reason. But this morning, in our text, we're going to see that Mary and Joseph did not get the opportunity to choose a name for this baby boy. We're going to see how the Lord God sent an angel to Joseph and instructed Joseph the name that this baby boy was to be given. His name was to be Jesus. And why was he to be called Jesus? Because he was sent by God. He was God in human flesh. He was the one who came to be our rescuer, our deliverer from our sins. Boys and girls, this morning, the Bible is so clear. We've been born in sin. Sin is a barrier between us and God. But Jesus came to break the barrier, to remove sin, so that you and I could know peace with God and receive his salvation through God-given faith. Boys and girls, mums and dads, at this Christmas time, can you say that you know the joy of that salvation that we receive through Christ Jesus? Mums and dads, can you say that you know the joy of the second birth? Well, now we're going to turn to Matthew 1 and we're going to focus on this text together. And as we do, let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for our children. We want to thank you for our children who are here this morning in the flesh, and also those who are joining us online. We want to thank you for those children who have been baptized into the church, those covenant children that you have blessed us with. We would pray, Father, that at a young age, that they would come to know of their sins forgiven by God-given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we turn to this text, Father, may we see so clearly from your word this morning that it's only through Jesus that our sins can be forgiven. May we be pointed to him today. And Father, for those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, may we leave this place being ever so much more encouraged of what Jesus has done for us. He has freed us from the penalty that our sin deserves. He has freed us from the bondage of sin. And Father, there's any within this meeting house today who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, we would pray that you would allow your word to take root within their hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's word to us this morning is that Jesus saves his people from their sins. From this text, we're going to see the miraculous birth of Jesus. His mother, Mary, was a virgin. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. We're also going to see how Emmanuel, how God took on human flesh and came into this sinful world and dwelt among us as fully God and fully man. John 3 and verse 17 is clear that God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but through him it might be saved. Jesus is God's rescuer. He has come to rescue his sheep. What is it that we need to be rescued from? This morning, you might be here after hearing the news of this week and feeling that we as a people need to be rescued from COVID-19. Your hope and your confidence remains in these vaccinations. But the Bible tells us that we need to be rescued from a much greater enemy than COVID-19. We need to be rescued from our sin. We are heirs of Adam. We've been born stained with sin. In Adam, all have sinned. We have been born with hearts that desire to dishonor God. We are a people who desire lawlessness. We each and every day of our lives sin against God in what we say, by what we think, and also by what we do. We have failed to keep God's law perfectly. We have failed to fulfill our purpose here on earth, which is to honor and glorify God. The Bible is clear that sin left undealt with will have eternal consequences. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, eternal death and separation from God. The one who dies dead in their sins is assured to be told in the great and final judgment, "Depart from me, for I never knew you, condemned to the eternal lake of fire." But thanks be to God for his one and only eternal begotten Son who came to this earth, was tempted by Satan in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus did what we cannot do. As the lawmaker, he kept God's law perfectly. He is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners. Jesus was and is sinless. His purpose of coming to this earth was to break the curse of sin. He came to deal with the penalty that our sin deserves. Through his perfect life and his one for all time atoning death, that the wrath of God is satisfied. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 states, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name given under heaven to man by which we must be saved. Jesus' righteousness has been placed on us, his people. It's through him that our sins have been forgiven. It's through him that we've been made right before God. He has cleansed us, healed us, and restored us unto himself. Today, believer, our hope and confidence is in Jesus to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. The incarnation of Christ changed our situation from hopeless to hopeful. God has fulfilled his covenant promises through Christ. Jesus saves his people from their sins. Let's work our way through the text, and then we'll consider its application. Verse 18 tells us this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. The text tells us that Mary was pledged, betrothed to be married to Joseph. The text is simply telling us that Mary has been betrothed. She has been solemnly promised in marriage to Joseph. Mary and Joseph are not simply engaged to be married. No, they have already made marriage vows to one another in the presence of witnesses. The marriage ceremony has in fact taken place. However, as was the normal custom of the day, the marriage celebration, the becoming of one flesh, and starting up home together has not as yet taken place. Matthew, in verse 19, calls Joseph Mary's husband, and in verse 20, Mary is called Joseph's wife. The text is clear in verse 18 that it is between Mary and Joseph's betrothal and their starting up home together that Mary is found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. How can this be? Joseph and Mary have not become one flesh. Joseph is not responsible for this baby. If a woman was proved to be unfaithful whilst being betrothed, it was punishable with death. We read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 23 to 24. But Mary has not been unfaithful. She was a virgin. The text is clear that the Holy Spirit has placed this child within Mary's womb. In Luke's gospel account, we see how Mary is told by the angel Gabriel that she will give birth to the Son of God. In Luke 1, verses 34 to 35, it states, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." From verse 19, we see Joseph's reaction to Mary's condition. Imagine being in Joseph's position. Joseph was floored by the news. He was shocked, even heartbroken. His mind, in fact, was troubled by the news. As far as he is concerned, Mary has been unfaithful. Joseph was left with the question, "What should I do?" Joseph knew he was not the father's child. Joseph, we are told, was a righteous man. He was a God-fearing man. He would have been a man who sought to obey God's law. He was a type of man that I believe, at looking into the text, that even the in-laws couldn't pick holes in. He would have been guaranteed to receive from the mother-in-law that extra slice of the Sunday roast. Joseph, a man of principle, realizes that he no longer can be with Mary. As far as he is concerned, she has been unfaithful. She has broken her marital vows. Joseph, being a kind-hearted creature, did not want to put Mary through the courts to publicly disgrace her. Instead, Joseph decides to hand Mary a bill of divorcement. He was going to let her go quietly. As Joseph was mulling over the situation, verses 20 to 21 tells us that Joseph fell asleep. And while he was asleep, an angel of the Lord appeared and spoke to him. The angel told Joseph, "Do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The angel of the Lord has told Joseph what Mary already knew and had been informed of, that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary has conceived this child. The angel called Joseph, son of David. In Matthew 1, verses 2 to 17, we read of Joseph's family tree. He is from the line of Abraham, of King David. The angel was telling Joseph, "Value yourself. You are of the line of David, through which the line of the Messiah is to be drawn from." It is Joseph who will pass this honor on to Jesus. The angel tells Joseph, "Do not hesitate to take Mary home as your wife. She has not been unfaithful. The child within her is there by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, nothing is impossible for God to do." Joseph must have been startled by this angel's revelation. Joseph never would have believed that Mary could have conceived a child whilst being a virgin if an angel of the Lord had not told him that that's exactly what had taken place. There'd never been a virgin birth before, and there's never been one since. The angel's news must have brought great comfort and joy to Joseph's heart. Joseph now knew the full picture. He knew now that Mary was faithful and didn't break her vows. He now knew that he could bring her home as his wife and that he could defend her honor and provide for her. The angel continues its God-given message to Joseph in verse 21. Here the angel reveals to Joseph the identity of this child. The angel of the Lord is here instructing Joseph what this baby boy's name is to be. His name is to be Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus means Yeshua, Joshua. Jesus' name means to deliver, to rescue. The angel here is telling Joseph that this baby is the promised Messiah that the prophets have foretold would come. He is the one who will deliver his people from the enslavement of sin. He will rescue his people from the torment of an eternity in hell, separated from God. He will save his people from their sins. He will break the curse of sin. He will end the plague of sin. He will enable us to have access with God, to know peace with God. It's God alone who, in and through his only Son, saved his covenant people from their sins. This baby boy will be the only mediator between man and God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus saves his people from their sins. Now that the angel's message to Joseph is concluded, Matthew in verses 22 to 23 shows us how the virgin birth of this baby boy, Jesus, is in fact a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In verse 23, Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Why is Matthew revealing to us that this virgin birth is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy? Matthew here is writing his gospel account to a Jewish audience. We know this. We went right through the whole book of Matthew. And we know that it was the Jews who handed Jesus over to be put to death. Matthew's desire throughout his whole gospel is to prove to these Jews that Jesus Christ was in fact the long-expected Messiah. Matthew wants his readers and us to grasp that Mary was the virgin that Isaiah spoke of, and that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. Matthew is pointing out to us that Mary's pregnancy by the power of the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Who is this baby Jesus? He is Emmanuel, God with us. The child in Mary's womb is God. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 tells us who Jesus is. He is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Colossians 2 and verse 9 states who Jesus is. For in Christ all the fullness of the Godhood lives in bodily form. Jesus Christ is God. God came to this earth and took on human flesh and dwelt among us. God, by his grace, left the realms of glory and came and dwelt among sinners, but remained sinless. He came to seek and save the lost. The God of all the universe came and was born in a smelly and disgusting cattle truck. Matthew, in verses 24 to 25, tells us that when Joseph woke, he did exactly as the angel of the Lord has instructed him. He took Mary home as his wife. On the arrival of the baby, Jesus gave him the name Jesus. But the text is clear that Joseph and Mary did not become one flesh until after the birth of Jesus. The reason the text is telling us this is to reinforce the reality that the baby within Mary's womb was placed there by the Holy Spirit. It was not of Joseph. Jesus saves his people from their sins. How are we to apply this text to our lives this morning? Believer, the doctrine of the incarnation of Christ, of the virgin birth, is a fundamental doctrine within the Christian faith. Jesus Christ could not be the Savior of the world if it was just a mere man who was responsible for Mary being with child. If Joseph or some other man was responsible for this child, that would simply mean that the baby Jesus was nothing more than a mere human stained with sin from the line of the first Adam. If there was no supernatural birth by the power of the Holy Spirit, then there's no salvation. There's no forgiveness of sins. In order for Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, he must in one person be both God and man, a sinless man. Jesus Christ was divine and a sinless human. God in his providence has fulfilled what he had forth ordained to the prophet Isaiah. Over 700 years passed before this prophecy was fulfilled. Believer, today, our hope, our confidence for having our sins forgiven is Jesus Christ. He has saved us from the guilt of our sins through his one for all time atoning death on the cross. He is that perfect, greater, spotless Passover lamb. He has saved us from the bondage of sin by placing into our hearts his Holy Spirit to be our sanctifier and guide. And he promises that one day he's going to return and take us to himself into the new heavens and new earth where sin will be no more. He promises to save us from the consequences that our sin deserves. Christ is our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification. Believer, as we head towards Christmas 2020, a Christmas that does not feel like Christmas, a Christmas that everyone is claiming is going to be very different. Well, there's one thing that's not going to be different. The reason we celebrate is the same reason as every other year. The reason is Jesus. May our hearts be full of joy at this Christmas time, knowing that Christ was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them, to give us, his chosen people, a second birth. He is our righteousness. He has transformed our lives. We're no longer enemies of God. We are his children. Christ remains our great high priest, and he lives forevermore to make intercession for us, his chosen people. And we are promised that greater is yet ahead of us. We are promised eternal life. Jesus saves his people from their sins. Maybe you're here this morning as someone who does not know their sins forgiven. You're thinking to yourself right this moment, how can anyone in their right mind believe in the virgin birth? Well, can I challenge you today to look to the evidence of itself? If a man was responsible for this child's birth, why did no man come forward and say, I'm the daddy? Look to the life Christ himself lived out. He was sinless in all his ways. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Jesus ever sinned. No. Instead, it speaks of people being totally amazed by his teaching and his understanding of the law of God. Look to his power and authority. His authority over creation. His authority over demons. His authority over disease. His authority over death. He himself conquered the grave. He defeated Satan, and he lives forevermore. There's no other way for you and I to be forgiven of our sins. There's only one way, and the way is Jesus. You and I, we cannot earn our salvation. We cannot make ourselves right before God. You and I are guilty. We deserve nothing more than God's eternal judgment. Today, if God is revealing to you the truth of the gospel, God has given you the faith to believe. Come to Christ. Trust in him who has done for you what you could never do for yourself. Today, as you leave this meeting house, may you be able to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. May Christ be your rescuer, your deliverer today. This Christmas, may you experience the joy of the second birth. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore, until Christ cometh or calleth. Amen.